Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to the show today. And we're here to finish off our risers list on Wednesday. Went over all the biggest risers from the AFC after free agency. So make sure go back, listen to that one if you haven't already. Today, time to run through the NFC. And that begins with the Cowboys. And there's lots of players getting small bumps after free agency in Dallas. Rico Dowdle is the first. And let me be clear, I don't think that Rico Dowdle is going to be starting for the Cowboys this season. I don't want to imply that at all, at least not unless some injuries happen. I think this team is probably going to draft someone, maybe even sign somebody else. Could we see Ezekiel Elliott go back there in a cheap deal? I think that's certainly not out of the question, but Dallas is one team that is almost guaranteed to take a running back in April. Still, for the time being, Dowdle is atop the depth chart, so he gets a bump, gives him a chance here to be the number two back in Dallas again. We also saw the Cowboys cut wide open Michael Gallup, and they didn't bring anybody else in. So Jalen Tolbert, he's a bit of a riser. We already saw this, though, last season. We saw him start to move ahead of Gallup near the end of the year, so not a huge bump for him. But the fact that Gallup's gone and the Cowboys haven't added any other pass catchers, that makes Tolbert a riser. Also makes veteran Brandon Cooks and tight end Jake Ferguson, they get slight bumps as well. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is going to handle as many targets as he can, and then we'll see what Jerry Jones and company do in the draft. Maybe they'll grab a wide out there, but for now, these guys are all small risers. Ferguson is a low-end tight end one for fantasy. Cooks in that wide receiver four flex range, and Tolbert's more of a dart throw stash. Now, Saquon Barkley, he is a riser as well in the NFC East. He's going from the Giants to the Eagles, means a lot of changes for his outlook, but overall, he is going to a much better offense. And we saw what DeAndre Swift did with this opportunity. It was pretty good for fantasy. Barkley, a much better running back than Swift. So even with the tush push, stealing some goal line work, and with Jason Kelce's retirement, and with a lot of talent around him in Philly, Barkley is going to thrive. It is a dangerous offense. They're going to have more sustained drives than what he's used to in New York. He's better blocking here and more scoring opportunities than what he saw with the Giants. So bump for Barkley into that mid to low end RB1 range. Devin Singletary, he's a riser. I mean, he landed in one of the few spots where he could actually sneak his way into a starting role again. And, you know, I expect that the Giants are going to be another team that's going to add somebody else to their backfield, probably in the draft. But Singletary, he always earns the respect of his coaches. He does a lot of things well. That's why they love him. He's never going to be an elite player, but he is a very solid back, and he's got a history with Brian Daboll that he can lean on. And if the Giants don't take a back on day two in the draft, Singletary is going to be the favorite to start. And in that role, he would be an RB3 and an RB3 with some upside for fantasy. Now, rounding out the NFC East, we got one riser from the Commanders. That is Zach Ertz. And he didn't have a lot of interest last year after the Cardinals let him go. Didn't really make an impact on the Lions, who are the team that eventually picked him up. So I wasn't sure if he was going to land a starting job at this point in his career. But sure enough, his old pal Cliff Kingsbury, he's the OC in Washington now, and that's where Ertz ended up. And he had some success as a volume-dependent producer under Kingsbury. We could see that again in Washington. So it makes the 33-year-old tight end a tight end two with a little bit of intrigue attached to him for fantasy. You know, not that he's ever going to be a huge difference maker, but if he sees enough volume, we know he has enough talent that he can be a volume-based low-end tight end one. It just depends how many targets he's going to be able to earn at his age, and with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson and now Austin Eckler around in Washington, it's going to be a bit of competition for targets, but I think Ertz could be an interesting play, a guy that you can get, talking more for best ball, guy that you're going to get as that, you know, low end tight end two that's going to pop up for a few weeks there when he does get a solid amount of targets. Now, one of my favorite signings from free agency is next in terms of what it means for his fantasy value, and that's Josh Jacobs going to the Packers. Aaron Jones out the door, AJ Dillon coming back, but on a very cheap contract. So really, it's so cheap that Dillon's roster spot, I don't think, is necessarily guaranteed. They could cut him if they wanted to. If they find somebody else that they like over the summer, they could actually let Dillon go and it wouldn't really be much of a penalty for them. Really tough times for Dillon. I mean, having to go back to Green Bay with his hat in his hand, take such a small deal. But really, he's more of a name than anything now, you know? He just hasn't done much with his opportunities in the pros, and other teams must have seen that as well because they weren't that interested in bringing him on. So Jacobs, he signs the big contract. He joins this exciting young Packers offense, and that should give them more pop from their backfield. I expect that they're going to score more rushing touchdowns this year with Jacobs in the mix. Just 4 rushing touchdowns last year from running backs. I think that number is going to go up significantly, and you have to like what Green Bay's doing. They have this really young core, all those young pass catchers at wide receiver and tight end, good young quarterback in Jordan Love. Let's see if he can take a step forward this year. So I'm projecting that we're going to see Jacobs play more of a workhorse role than what we saw from Aaron Jones in this offense. Jacobs, 4 years younger than Jones. He profiles as a back who can handle that bigger workload. And in this offense, he has top 5 fantasy upside, but right now I have him locked in as a mid-range RB1, albeit a guy that has a bit higher of a ceiling than that. I do have one player on the risers list under the Chicago Bears, only he's not on their roster yet, and that's Caleb Williams. Really seems like he is set to be the number 1 overall pick and go to Chicago. Keenan Allen, he was at Williams Pro Day. I mean, he was wearing the Bears gear when he was there. I don't think he would have went there if he wasn't very confident that that was going to be his next quarterback. And that's why Williams is a riser. The Bears, they're just laying the groundwork here for him to be able to excel as a rookie. You already had DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. You add to that Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift in free agency. There's talk that they could potentially use the number 9 pick on a wideout as well. They've also added some pieces on the offensive line, some guys who can give them a little more competition on the interior, and at worst, I mean, even if it doesn't work out that none of those guys end up starting, can give them some more depth up front, and we'll see what they do in the draft to beef up the line, but Williams is stepping into a very favorable situation after all the free agent signings and after the Allen trade, and for me, he's already a top 15 quarterback in my redraft rankings. I can't wait to see what he's going to do in the pros. Now, flipping over to the NFC South, couple teams with a bunch of risers on them, the most obvious being the Falcons, and I spent lots of time on this team last week, but the addition of Kirk Cousins, just night and day for this offense, the bad quarterback play that Atlanta's had, it's really tanked this offense the last couple seasons. Now they get to put an extremely competent quarterback back there, not an elite guy, but a really good veteran NFL passer. And you combine that with the arrival of a new regime and a new offensive coordinator and Zach Robinson coming over from that Sean McVay coaching tree. This could be huge for fantasy. So Drake London, he gets the biggest bump all the way up into wide receiver 2 territory. I have him as the wide receiver 15 in redraft. Kyle Pitts, he's got a chance to recapture the magic of that rookie season. He had over 1,000 yards in his first year, had a couple down years since then, but he's going to have a good shot to get his career back on track with Cousins throwing the ball. He's a mid-range tight end 1 for fantasy. Bijan Robinson, just securely among the top 5 running backs. And Cousins, the new scheme, it just makes you feel more confident in Bijan. And then Darnell Mooney, he goes from being a forgotten man in Chicago to signing in Atlanta, where he's going to be a boomer bust wide receiver 4 flex, but somebody who can definitely find his way into fantasy lineups. So very positive developments for the Falcons, and this is a team that you are going to want to invest in fantasy. The other NFC South team with multiple risers, that's the Panthers, and really nowhere to go but up for this offense, but Dave Canales taking over as head coach and play caller, that's great news. The moves they've made so far, it gives you some hope for Carolina's future. And the big one was trading for Deontay Johnson. And that gives them a legitimate receiver and a guy who's known for creating separation. And that's something that the Panthers wideouts last year, they really struggled to do. And Johnson, he has been a big time fantasy producer when he's seen a ton of targets going back to his days in Pittsburgh. And going back to the days when he had a decent quarterback throwing him the ball, the last couple seasons wasn't really a great situation. So he's leaving that behind. It didn't seem like he was very happy in Pittsburgh near the end. He's going to get a fresh start in a Panthers offense that is going to be happy to feed him targets, just like they did for Adam Thielen last year. But Deontay Johnson, more talented and much younger than Thielen at this point in his career. So Johnson, a fantasy wide receiver 3, but has some wide receiver 2 upside if he can add some touchdowns to what's surely going to be a big catch total. And he'll instantly become Bryce Young's best friend. And this is great news for Young. He's also a riser here. Canales being in the building, that just can't be overstated. After what he did for Geno Smith in Seattle 2 years ago, Baker Mayfield in Tampa last year, hopefully the Panthers can find another quality playmaker for Young, maybe in the draft. I also really like what they've done to address the offensive line so far. They're beefing up on the interior. They added Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt. And Lewis, he's on the shorter side for a guard, so that might help Young. It can't hurt, right? We know that Young's height has been pointed to as one of the things that could be holding him back a little bit. Maybe having some shorter linemen in front of him, that could be a positive, but we're just speculating at this point. Either way, don't get me wrong, we still have a ways to go before we're talking about Young as a real fantasy starter, but these are good steps for him. I also wonder what they're going to do at running back. You know, could they be in the mix to draft somebody? Because right now it's Chuba Hubbard and it's Miles Sanders. And based on the way they've been talking, they do like Hubbard. And last season, at the end of the year, Hubbard took over that lead back job and he was pretty good. I mean, he's kind of in that Devin Singletary position now where he's going to have to survive the draft before we can really talk about him potentially being the starter for 2024. But if he is, he would be an interesting RB3 with upside, because you look back to last year, he was the RB14 in fantasy points per game over the last 7 weeks of the regular season. So there is potential there. Now, we already saw Rashad White's potential last season for the Buccaneers. He was a borderline RB1, depending on the scoring you use. And a huge part of that was the receiving work for him. But he's making the risers list because the only move the Bucs made to their backfield was re-signing Chase Edmonds. And he is no threat to White's workload. We know that from last year. So unless they add somebody in the draft, White is set up for another big year as a top 15, maybe even a top 10 back. That's where I have him ranked at the moment in redraft. Now that brings us to the NFC West. No real risers on the 49ers, but on the Rams, we got to tip our hats to Kyren Williams, who I don't think he was really in any danger of being usurped on the depth chart, but there was a lot of big names in the RB market, and Kyren, just one season of production to his name, seems like the Rams feel comfortable rolling with him as their lead back again. So he's a small riser just based on the fact that LA hasn't brought anybody else in. The bigger riser for the Rams in terms of the fantasy rankings is Demarcus Robinson. And this one is much further down the rankings, of course, but he took over as the number 3 receiver last year. He jumped past Tutu Atwell in the second half of the season, and Robinson was effective. He had double digit fantasy points in 5 straight games when he was seeing starter snaps down the stretch. He really had a nose for the end zone too, had 4 touchdowns over those 5 games. So Robinson could be a very sneaky late round pick in fantasy drafts this year. Not a league winner, but a good under the radar value for sure. Over to the Seahawks, Geno Smith, he is a riser. Seattle, they found a way to keep Tyler Lockett, to keep Noah Fant. Both those guys are going to stay with the team. So Geno gets to bring back all his weapons. That's enough to bump him up a little bit, though he's still just in that QB2 territory for fantasy. And then the last team, the Cardinals, no major moves for them. I mean, they traded Rondell Moore, but then they signed Chris Moore at receiver, so that kind of equals out. The wide receiver depth chart, though, it is pretty thin there. You have Michael Wilson going into his sophomore year. You have Greg Dorsch, who is a favorite in the fantasy community, of course, but you have to think that they're going to spend some significant draft capital at wideout. And Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, they could be excellent targets with that 4th overall pick. So should be some talent available on day 2 as well that they could target, maybe in addition to taking one of those guys early. But either way, want to highlight Trey McBride here, because it seems like he is going to be either the number 1 or the number 2 option in that passing game. So his value gets a little bit of a boost. We just love these talented tight ends who are going to be one of the top 2 options in the passing game in their offense. And McBride right now, unless they just take a ton of receivers in the draft, McBride is going to be in that spot for Arizona. And then James Conner, his teammate, he's in a similar boat where Arizona, only one move in their backfield in free agency, that was signing DJ Dallas, but he's more of a depth player. He's more of a special teams guy. So Conner, the unquestioned starter again, and we always have to remind people that when he's healthy, he delivers like a top 15 fantasy back. It's been several seasons now that he's done that. Last year, he was the RB9 in fantasy points per game for the whole season in half PPR scoring. So Conner, almost always a value pick in fantasy, and I have him right now as an RB2 in my rankings, but I try to move him up every chance I get. He is extremely talented, and people just overlook him based on the age and based on some of the injury concerns that he's had in the past, but this guy can produce when he's on the field. That is all for today's show, though, so make sure you check out all my content over at The Score. Hopefully you already listened to that AFC Risers episode from earlier in the week. If you haven't, go back, give that a listen. Now, I'm going to be off for the next couple weeks here, but then we'll be back in early April. Lots of time before the NFL draft. We'll have some guests joining us. We'll help get you ready for the draft and that new wave of prospects that's coming in. But until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening. We'll see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight.